Well, good morning. It's good to be here with each one of you again this morning, and so appreciated the Bible study, Ed. I wouldn't have minded if you would have just kept going with that, but that's okay. Well, this morning it's not going on. There it went. This morning, I felt led to share on the life of Joseph a little bit, kind of share some of my thoughts on that. Been very blessed with Joseph and the story of his life. I don't think many of us had to go through some of the stuff that Joseph did at the age that he did. So this morning, I'd like to turn to Genesis 37. We can read there. Very blessed with Joseph. Joseph was a man of integrity, great integrity, and a man of forgiveness. I would see Joseph as a great man of God. So I'm going to start reading in chapter 37. And I know it's probably very familiar to each of us, but I'm going to go ahead and read over it again. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So, it appears here Joseph brought a bad report about his brothers to his father. So that turned off his brothers against him and created bad feelings. And then on top of it then, their father favored Joseph over all the rest of them, which just amplified the hatred and that for Joseph. And then on top of it then, Joseph had a dream. Verse 5 says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." And there you see, just like so many people, maybe us, struggle with sometimes, it hurts us and we're too full of pride to recognize this, that we have to look up to somebody. We want to be we think we're the highest level. Then he dreamed still another dream, verse 9, and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and even the stars," thank you, Titus, "bowed down to me." Verse 10, so he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their flocks in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent them out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him there, and he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. So now this hatred that they had stirring around in their hearts and stuff, it came to a boiling point, I'm going to say here, to the point now that they're ready to get rid of him because they don't like the thought of him ruling over them. And these dreams, you know, that Joseph was having was just a telltale sign of what God had in store for him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. We shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. And do not lay hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, and the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes, and he turned to his returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it into their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. So here we see that, you know, the brothers come to the boiling point. They were ready to kill Joseph, but then they decided better of it because they knew that his blood would be upon their hands. There was probably that enough respect for God there and stuff that they knew that it was not going to be pleasing to God. And probably deep down, even though they hated the thought of bowing down to him and him being a ruler over them, there was probably still just a little bit of an idea there that maybe God had something in store for Joseph that they maybe didn't want to recognize. So they sold him, they pulled him up out of the pit then and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And that's when he takes the next step, if you will, in life, when the Ishmaelites take him to Egypt. And it's interesting to ponder, you know, how Joseph must have felt. You know, here he is 17 years old, and, I mean, who of us would think that having a dream and telling it to your brothers would get you to the point of being sold or even killed? And I can only imagine it was a struggle for Joseph, you know, possibly the feeling of rejection. But I believe even at that young age, I think Joseph realized that God had a calling on his life. He realized that God had bigger and better things for him. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Joseph is a slave in Egypt. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him for the Ishmaelites from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So it's interesting, even at 17, 18 years old here, you know, he went through the rejection, if you will, from his brothers, was sold to the Ishmaelites, they bring him down here as a slave, and they sell him. But at that age, there was still the rulers of the house there, Potiphar. He saw something in Joseph. So I believe Joseph had a connection with God, and they saw this connection with God, and they had a respect for him. So Joseph, verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me, but you, because you are his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It's just interesting, you know, 17, 18 years old. Again, he faced all this from his brothers, that there was already a trial. I'm sure he's dealing with feelings from that. Then he's faced with this temptation. And he still comes through it, shining, being a testimony for God. Verse 10, so it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she called him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. So it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So again here, Potiphar, you know, he saw that God was with Joseph. And I had to wonder, you know, if with what he saw in Joseph's life, I had to wonder if he actually fully believed what his wife was telling him. I don't know. That's just a thought I had. But he went and put Joseph in prison anyways. And again, it amazes me. The prisoner, even the guard of the prison, saw something in Joseph that he knew that God was with Joseph. And I think they picked up that God, or that Joseph had a great love for God. And at this point, Joseph would have had plenty to be bitter about. I think he had enough excuses that he could have probably turned against God because of all the things that happened. He would have to feel by this point that surely God doesn't really doesn't care about him. You know, he's sold by his brothers. Then he's tempted by Potiphar's wife. Then he's thrown into prison. But he's still shining forth, that the guards of the prison could tell that God was with him. And they felt they could trust him with the affairs of the prison. But still, God calls Joseph to prosper. Because of Joseph's integrity, God could tell that Joseph loved him. And then we go into Genesis 40 and 41. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. But you go into there when he's in prison, then the chief baker and the butler, they had these dreams that just seemed crazy. They couldn't make any sense out of them. They didn't understand them. And I'm not sure if it was the prisoners or who it was exactly that thought of Joseph. And they're like, bring Joseph. You know, they picked up that Joseph had the connection with God. They picked up that he had wisdom. He had something that they didn't have. So that's when they called Joseph. And Joseph comes in and he's able to interpret their dreams. And then that's when Pharaoh then hanged the chief baker, and then he restored the butler's position back to him. And then in chapter 41, again, I shouldn't say again, but Pharaoh had a dream. And again, this is a dream that he did not understand. Again, they knew that Joseph was somebody they could trust. They knew Joseph was somebody that had a connection with God. And they knew that God blessed him with wisdom. They felt confident he'd be able to interpret the story. And so they called Joseph. And Joseph gave them the interpretation. And the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream was the 7 years of plenty, and then the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was blessed, or he was impressed, I should say, by Joseph. And I'm going to jump in here at verse 37 of chapter 41, Joseph's rise to power. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you." So here Pharaoh's recognizing the wisdom and the connection that Joseph had with God. Verse 40, "You shall be over my house and all my people, and shall be ruled according..." Let me start over, sorry. "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Pani, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and he went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food for the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded him. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. So here, you know, Pharaoh recognized Joseph's ability. He recognized the wisdom that God gave him, and he felt confident to put Joseph in that position. But, you know, again, I see the potential for the possibility here for all this power to go to Joseph's head. You know, he goes through all these temptations, and then he gets put in this position where he's over everybody except for Pharaoh. And so, yeah, I could see the temptation there could be very real. But again, I feel like Joseph had a very real connection with God, and he realized that God had something greater in store for his life. And then we're going to continue reading there, verse 50. "And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. I lost my place here. So when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. So here we see Joseph recognizing what he went through. But again, he recognized that God had something greater for him. And at this point, don't sense that there's any sort of bitterness or feelings towards his brother or even towards God for what he went through. And I think it would have to be pretty amazing to be in Joseph's shoes to be able to interpret a dream like that and then to actually be a part of the plan and see it all work out. And then in Genesis 41, chapter 41 through chapter 44, and again, I'm not going to read that, but that's where You know, the famine was so great, and Jacob saw that the grain in Egypt, saw that there was grain in Egypt, and of course, I don't know, at this point, they probably was the furthest thing, Joseph was probably the furthest thing from their minds. Probably didn't think about that they're going to go down there. Obviously, they didn't think about they were going to go down there and buy grain from Joseph. And I'm sure his brothers, you know, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. He gets sent to Egypt as a slave, and he was only gone to prepare the way for him, to save them, to gather food for him. But yeah, 42 through 44, it's when his brothers, Jacob sent his brothers down to Egypt to gather food for them. And also that's when Joseph realized and recognized his brothers. And he put them through the test. He puts money in their sacks and sends them back with them. And I'm not sure exactly what order them, but then I don't know if it was the same time or another time then that he said that they mustn't come back unless if they bring their youngest brother along. This is just, I think they're trying to figure this out, and just they didn't know what was going on. They were afraid. But then in, let's go to Genesis 45. It's where Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come to me. Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, and do not tarry.'" I'm going to cease reading there. So there, it's just amazing. You can sense, you can tell where Joseph's heart really was. He recognized he was in connection with God. You can see Joseph's complete forgiveness towards his brothers and realizing God's purpose for his life. I'm not sure if I was in a situation like that, like Joseph was. I had to wonder what my reaction would be. Would my outcome be the same as what Joseph's outcome was? Would I have that complete forgiveness, or would I be holding feelings for what I missed out on, or for the hardships that I went through? And also, now I'm going to turn over to Genesis 50. I'll read verses 46. No, I'm sorry, verses 15 through 20. Joseph reassures his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So again, here we see Joseph's complete forgiveness. Joseph recognizing what God had him there for. Joseph understood his mission and articulated the purpose of his life in line with God's intention, which came to the saving of many lives. Joseph had a connection with God, and he loved God with all of his heart, and that's a connection, a love for God that I'm jealous of, that I want to have in my life. So like Joseph, how am I taking the circumstances that God is taking me through? What am I doing with them circumstances? Am I allowing them to make me a better vessel for God's kingdom? Am I a shining light for God no matter what I'm doing, no matter what the hardship? And last question is, will we be men of integrity, steadfast and blameless in a world that's in need of God, in a world that's full of sin? I think that's where Joseph found himself, you know, being tempted like he was, going through the hardships like he did. He saw the purpose, and he saw he recognized what God wanted from him, and he lived it out, which also brought God's blessing upon his life. And I think that's also some of why God was able to bless him with the wisdom and so let's be like Joseph. Let's be men of integrity, men of forgiveness. God bless you.